We're thinking about remembrance and thanksgiving. We're going to have two Bible readings. The first is in Psalm 105. If you want a Bible, there are quite a few at the back there that you can take, various versions. And we're in Psalm 105, and then we're going into 2 Corinthians and chapter 9. And you'll see how in these passages, the writers bring together thanksgiving and remembrance, or remembrance and thanksgiving. Sometimes it's either way round. Psalm 105. Give thanks to the Lord. Call on his name. Make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him. Sing praise to him. Tell out all his wonderful acts. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles and the judgments he pronounced. O descendants of Abraham, his servant, O sons of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers his covenant forever. The word he commanded for 1,000 generations, a covenant he made with Abraham, an oath he swore to Isaac. He confirmed it to Jacob as a decree, to Israel as an everlasting covenant. To you I will give the land of Canaan as a portion, and you will inherit. For he remembered his holy promise given to his servant Abraham. He brought out his people with rejoicing, his chosen ones with shouts of joy. He gave them the lands of the nations, and they fell heir to what others had toiled for, that they might keep his precepts and observe his laws. Praise the Lord. And then into 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 are, if you wanted a sort of potted version of of some of the books, and you'd go through, you said, oh, these are the giving chapters. These are where Paul talks about giving and our responsibility of giving. But I want to draw alongside the responsibility of giving and the responsibility of using our resources properly, that it's thanksgiving when we remember appropriately what God has done. So chapter 9, verse 6, that we're reading from 6 to, where are we, 15. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. That word is hilarious giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way, so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in what? Thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but it is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. I wonder what remembrance evokes in your heart and life. Sometimes it evokes emotions of fear. sometimes regret, sometimes remorse, sometimes sadness, anger, sometimes resolve. But so often these days, when I look at photographs and when I think about the past, mind you, God's given me a forgettery these days rather than a memory, but when I do actually remember things, I am so often filled with thanksgiving. The Bible links remembrance with thanksgiving so often. There are so many references to remember, remembrance. There are hundreds of references in the Old Testament. Remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. Remember my commandments. Remember what God has done for you. Remember God himself. And remember his covenant. And God will remember his covenant to you. And then it goes on, and Paul goes on, and he says, remember, I warned you, remember the poor, remember the former state that you were in, and now give thanks to God for the state you're in now. And so thanksgiving is also linked. And there's the sacrifices of thanksgiving in the Old Testament. And of course, one of the greatest sacrifices of thanksgiving is the instructions in their harvest. They were an agrarian society, so often their offerings were harvest offerings. They brought their wheat and their corn and their animals and their food to God as offerings of thanksgiving. Always give thanks. And then there are these symbols of remembrance and thanksgiving. And of course, the greatest, probably the two that came together, is the Lord's Supper. The bread and the wine, the symbols of remembering and giving thanks. Jesus gave thanks as he thought about what was to come. That's incredible. We give thanks as we think of what he did for us. There's the bread and the wine. In the Old Testament, they set up stones to help them remember. They had the tabernacle with Aaron's rod and the manna inside it to help them remember. All sorts of things are brought together. And Paul says in this chapter, he says, we give thanks because we remember something. And the key is, he remembers the life that the Corinthian church is living out. Thanksgiving for Paul doesn't just involve, like we read in Psalm 115, prayerful words. And they're great prayerful words of thanksgiving. But for Paul, thanksgiving involves practical living. So we're just going to use four words. And the first word from this passage is sharing. Verses 6 and 7 remind us, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will reap generously. Every man should give what he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly, under compulsion, for God loves a hilarious giver. We are to share. Part of thanksgiving to God is our sharing of our resources, of the gifts God has given us, as the money God has given us, as the chattels God has given us, as the time God has given us. One of the writers I was reading about during preparing this, Lindsay Clegg, said, do you say hallelujah when the plate comes round? Well, the bag in our case. Or do you say, oh no, hang on, what have I got? Now, some of us these days, things have changed. We give by standing order and various other things to the church. But God loves a hilarious giver. Why? Because God himself is a hilarious giver. And here is the principle of enrichment. The principle that says in their agrarian society, and Jesus uses lots of examples and parables of agriculture, just as Paul uses this, he says, if you sow a little, you reap a little. If you sow a lot, you reap a lot. Because enthusiasm inspires enthusiasm. Meanness inspires meanness. Liberation, liberality inspires liberality. There's two lovely words in Proverbs. Can we put the Proverbs one up for us, please, Roger? One man gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. A generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. How true that is, and how New Testament it is. And that's what Paul is saying here. You actually, when you sow, you actually lose it. It's interesting, isn't it? And of course, you've got John 12, which reminds us of that. I tell you the truth, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. There are sometimes you give. There's sometimes you give time, sometimes you give energy, sometimes you give your gifts and you work with people and then you give some money and you never see the result. But there is a result. Because when you sow, there'll be lots of other things come out of it. You won't always see it, but it'll be there. And you're to freely decide what you give. It's up to us. And Paul says we are to share liberally. Not grudgingly. That's a very interesting word, that. It says, where it says, and God, Not reluctantly or under compulsion. It's not the greatest translation. Grudgingly is perhaps a better word, but the word means sorrow. In other words, it doesn't make you sad when you give. You don't grieve over what you've actually given or what you think you've lost because you've given something away. I know sometimes I sit at home and I think, oh no, I've got to get up and go and do the church garden and it doesn't look very good weather and I've got to get all the things out of the shed and put them all in the back of the car. I've got to take the seats out of the back of the car. I've got to call at Gwen's to get the mower and I've got to come around. Oh no, I don't know whether I can do that. But we do it. And when you get here, it's a joy. When you actually go, you think to yourself, I don't know whether I can go and visit that person. Oh, it's a bit eggshell business, you know, you're walking on eggshells there. But when you get there, it's not what you think. As you share, and the second word is, you're rewarded. You're rewarded. Because God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things and at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. And so the second word is rewards. First word is what? No, that's not a rhetorical question. I'm going to ask you this one. The first word is what? We share. Second word is we are then rewarded. It's rewarding to give thanks God's way. And giving thanks is sharing our resources and sharing our sowed, our seed that we have, our talents, our gifts. The sower sowed seed, he got 60%, he got 80%, he got 100%, and he got some that went onto rough ground and he didn't know where it was going to grow. But he sowed it. And he reaped. And you see, what actually happens is, what happens then when you sow? You are blessed. You remember what happened to the poor old rich young ruler? There's verses in Luke 18 at the end of that story. Where the rich young ruler went away sad, and Peter said to him, we've left everything to follow you. Well, I tell you the truth, said Jesus. I can almost see Jesus sort of doing this to Peter. I don't think he did, but you know, it's the sort of thing we do. I tell you the truth. No one who's left home or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God will fail to receive many times as much in this age and in the age to come. When my parents moved to Hartlepool, they were obviously quite upset. And particularly upset after the events of the bombing of Coventry, because they couldn't go and help. They actually did go down to visit. 2 or 3 days later, they went there. Dad got 48 hours leave. It took them 24 hours to get from Hartlepool to Hill Morton, just outside Coventry, where the family was staying. They got stuck in Birmingham. They spent a night in the Birmingham shelters because Birmingham was being bombed. There were no buses, no trains. They sat on a train and then they were told to get off because the train didn't go. And so they eventually found a chap with a coal lorry who was going to travel to Coventry from Birmingham carrying coal. They got on the back of a coal lorry and they eventually got to Hillmorton. 24 hours later, they stayed a few hours and then had to go back to Hartlepool. You know, they gave so much to go and see the family. But they write how, what a blessing it was to see them. And so often when we give, God says, you're going to get it back. If you give something, if you share something, oh, it's going to be a great blessing to you to get back what you've given and overabundantly what you've given. When we went to Nigeria with two children, aged 2 years and one aged 4 months, we had nothing. Well, no, I tell a lie. We had a bedroom suite in Marilyn's mom's house. We had a bed and a wardrobe and a dressing table. But we couldn't take that to Nigeria, so we left it. And we went to Nigeria with next to nothing, with two children. We came back from Nigeria 10 years later. We still had only a bedroom suite in Marilyn's mom's house. But I tell you, we had lives that were enriched. We had people that we met, not just missionaries, but church members, Nigerian pastors who we worked with, who enriched our lives. Our kids were self-sufficient kids because they had to look after themselves. They went off to a boarding school when they were six. Broke our hearts. They thought it was wonderful. Mind you, well, they did cry a bit for the first little while, but they thought it was marvelous. They went swimming. They did this. They did everything. They were there. They had a terrific education. God blessed us in ways that we could never have thought of. The third word is supply. I didn't know whether we ought to put this second, but Paul puts it in this order. So we'll talk about supply. And from verses 10 and onwards, he says, "Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge your harvest." Notice it's a harvest of righteousness. "And you will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in" what? "Thanksgiving to God." And so our sharing, the rewards we get, the supply that we get from God is incredible. However we may think we earn money or the jobs that we have, and ultimately we have to recognize that God is our supplier. I don't know whether you say grace before meals. Sometimes I think it's a bit of a formality for us. We always say grace before meals. Sometimes it does register with me, "Oh yes, Lord, thank you for this home, for this place, for this church, for this meal." God supplies. You distribute, then you're blessed. That's the process. If you look in Philippians, it took me years to understand this verse in Philippians, or these verses. Paul writes to the Philippians at the end. He'd received quite a lot of gifts from the Philippians. He'd also received a chap called Epaphroditus who went and took those gifts and stayed with him and worked with him. He said, "I've received full payment and even more. I'm amply supplied now that I've received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They're a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to his riches, glorious riches in Christ Jesus." For many years, we had a text on a piece of card, officially produced. It was a nice gold on blue. And it said, "My God will supply all your need from his riches in glory." And we stuck it up on the wall. And every now and again, when we were going through college and we didn't have hardly had anything to eat the next day, and we prayed, "Lord, you said you'd supply all our need from his riches in your riches in glory." And you know, for years, it took me ages to work out that you can't isolate that text. That text, that promise, is conditional. What's it conditional on? That you give to God. "I've received from you," says Paul. "I've even received a worker from you. I've received gifts from you. It's an acceptable sacrifice. And because you've given to me, then my God will supply all your need." I always remember going to a church that was really suffering. Talk about grandmother's roof had nearly gone, their roof had nearly gone. And I said to them, if you want a new roof, you've got to give a bit more to mission. Oh, it's easy for me to say, wasn't it? Because I was only diving in and diving out. But that's the principle. Communities, churches, whatever it is. And it's the most difficult thing sometimes. I'll tell you, one of the most difficult things is that when people offer themselves for service within the church, and you think, oh my word, I'm not sure they've got the gifts to do that. And you have to go to them and talk to them and say, well, I'm really, you know, I'm not really convinced that you, the Lord has given you the resources, the supply to do what you think you want to do. Do you think we could talk about it and pray about it and something else? That's hard. Because we don't always get it right. And then the fourth word, of course, is thanksgiving. So the first word is what?
Share.
Second word is reward. Third word is supply. And the fourth word is thanksgiving. Here it is from here on in. This service that you perform is not supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing. Not only supplying the needs of God's people, but overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. And the next few verses go on about thanksgiving and praise to God. Praise and worship. And at the end, Paul then suddenly bursts out in an exclamation. Paul does this from time to time. He sort of bursts out in an exclamation. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. John Calvin, when he was writing his commentary on 2 Corinthians, thought it was very relevant. Paul said, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. And his indescribable gift, or his unspeakable gift is a better translation, is actually the grace that God gives us that he's talked about in that, now supplying seed to the sower and grace so that you can supply the needs of God's people. But most commentators feel that we're talking here about God's greatest grace gift, the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps it's both. And so we've come full circle. Thanksgiving, remembrance, thanksgiving, favor, sharing, reward, supply, and thanks. I don't know whether you know, but today is World Kindness Day. I think, you know, we do some daft things. In 1997, then, evidently a number of humanitarian groups got together and made a declaration of kindness. And so they created World Kindness Day, which comes round November the 13th every year. And on World Kindness Day, everyone is encouraged to do acts of kindness. And on their website they say, donate books. I thought, we're on a winner here. On their website they say, donate food. I only found this out after we decided to do this. Or clothes to a community project. Hold a door for a stranger. And I love this one. Compliment your neighbour on their collection of garden gnomes. And this one. Let your partner have control of the TV remote for the evening. Only for the evening. You go on the website, you can find it. You know, I thought, this is fantastic, but it's pathetic. In Bournemouth, today, now, anybody heard of the barefoot doctor? Have you? Yeah. Well, the barefoot doctor is holding a one-day workshop on the power of kindness as a form of self-defense. I can see that a bit. But I thought, this is encouraging, but it's pathetic. You know, as Christians, we World Kindness Day, it ought to be every day. As we remember God's grace As we give thanks in the life that we live and in the prayers that we pray, kindness are seeds that we sow day by day, by hour, all the time. And so as we remember God's grace, as we show thanksgiving to God through the life we live and the prayers we pray, may he be reflected in us for the glory of his name.